BOA, what the hits?
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, we hear a lot about the Earth and the Moon. First, we hear how the American Space Agency aims to develop moon resources. Then, Brian Lynn presents this week's science report. We close with the next part of our U.S. history series. But first, a NASA scientist recently told a mining conference in Brisbane, Australia, that the U.S. Space Agency aims to develop resources on the moon. Gerald Sanders has been a rocket scientist at NASA's Johnson Space Center for 35 years. He said that the first resources NASA wants to develop are oxygen and water. Later, he said, the space agency may try to mine iron and rare earth metals. NASA is taking steps to be able to dig into the moon's soil in 2032. The U.S. Space Agency plans to return Americans to the moon as part of its Artemis mission. The goal is to learn from the mission and plan for explorations deeper into space. An important part of the Artemis mission is advancing commercial use of space. The agency plans to measure possible resources, including energy, water, and lunar soil, to gain outside investment, Sanders said. He added that developing resources on the moon will be important to cutting costs and creating a circular economy. A circular economy is a system that is based on reuse of materials or products. We are trying to invest in the exploration phase, understand the resources to lower risk such that external investment makes sense that could lead to development and production, Sanders told the mining conference. We are just scratching the surface, he said. NASA plans to send a test drilling device to the moon soon and plans a larger digging project for moon soil, sometimes called regolith, and a testing processing system in 2032. The first customers are expected to be commercial rocket companies that could use the moon's resources for fuel or oxygen. The Australian Space Agency is involved in developing a device that will take regolith samples on a NASA mission as early as 2026, said Samuel Webster. He is an assistant director at that agency. The rover will demonstrate the collection of lunar soil that contains oxygen in the form of oxides. Using separate equipment sent to the moon with the rover, NASA will aim to extract that oxygen, Webster said. He added that finding resources on the moon was an important step towards establishing a lasting human presence on the moon, as well as supporting future missions to Mars.
Thank you.
A recent study says that pumping massive amounts of groundwater to the surface can affect the position of Earth's poles. The poles are at either end of the imaginary line running through the Earth. The turning motion of Earth around this line causes day and night. The tilt of the line in relation to the sun causes the seasons. Scientists have known for more than 100 years that the Earth's poles change position a little over time with what is called polar motion. A group of international scientists recently published their study of polar motion. Earlier studies linked the way water is spread out over the Earth to polar motion. The scientists wanted to see if the movement of groundwater could help explain differences between observed and predicted polar motion. The researchers used a climate computer model to estimate that humans pumped a total of 2,150 gigatons of groundwater to the Earth's surface from 1993 to 2010. 1 gigaton is equal to about 1 billion metric tons, the American space agency NASA notes. The model estimated that world sea levels rose 6 millimeters because of the additional groundwater. Groundwater pumped to the surface is used for crops and drinking water. It is an important resource to support human life. The recent study suggests that the movement of groundwater to the oceans can, in a way, affect Earth's rotation and might also add to sea level rise. A 2016 study first showed evidence that ocean water flows can affect polar motion. But the latest study is the first to explore in depth how groundwater brought to the surface might change Earth's tilt. The researchers created their climate model to study polar motion. Described another way, polar motion is when the position of the planet's rotational axis moves in relation to Earth's crust. Water movements on Earth can cause the planet to rotate a little differently as water is moved around, the researchers said in a statement. Ji Wong So is a geophysicist at Seoul National University who led the study. It recently appeared in the publication Geophysical Research Letters. So said, Earth's rotational pole actually changes a lot. He added that the study shows that among climate-related causes, the redistribution of groundwater actually has the largest impact on the drift of the rotational pole. The researchers depended on data collected by satellites over nearly 20 years. They used their computer model to estimate what kinds of water redistribution caused a notable change in the Earth's tilt. The team's main finding was that the Earth tilted nearly 80 centimeters towards the 64 degrees east longitude line between 1993 and 2010. The study notes that where the groundwater is pumped from affects how much polar motion happens. The biggest changes were recorded in mid-latitude areas, areas not too close to the North Pole and not too near the equator. During the study period, the most water was redistributed in western North America and northwestern India. Both of these are in mid-latitude areas. So noted that the rotational pole changes caused by groundwater are too small to affect Earth's seasons. He said that, in theory, making changes to slow the rate of groundwater removal could affect Earth's polar motion, but major changes would likely only be seen if such efforts were highly organized and continued for many years. I'm very glad to find the unexplained cause of the rotation pole drift, So said. On the other hand, as a resident of Earth and a father, I'm concerned and surprised to see that pumping groundwater is another source of sea level rise. So noted that the latest study could mark the start of additional research into how water flow changes affected different, specific areas around the world. He said the same rotational pole data could be used to learn about possible causes of redistributed water over the past 100 years. Were there any changes resulting from the warming climate? Polar motion could hold the answer, he added. Surendra Adhikari is a research scientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. He was not involved in this study. In a statement, Adhikari said the research was a nice contribution and an important documentation for sure. He published the 2016 paper on water redistribution's effects on rotational drift. Adhikari added that the study clearly demonstrates the role of groundwater pumping on polar motion, and it's pretty significant. I'm Brian Lynn.
Brian Lynn joins me now to talk more about this week's science report. Thanks for being here, Brian.
Sure, Ashley. Glad to be here.
Your report was about new research suggesting that pumping groundwater to Earth's surface slightly changed how the planet rotates. I noticed there were some interesting science-related words in the report. So let's talk about some of those.
Okay, sure. Why don't we start with three words defined in the report that describe motion: rotate, drift, and tilt. So the word rotate means to turn in a circular direction. In the report, this relates to how Earth rotates or spins around its axis. The term drift simply means to move into a new position slowly over time, but not in any particular direction.
Okay, let's move on to tilt. This also describes movement, but in a different way, right?
Yes, that's correct. The word tilt refers to something moving into a position where one side is higher or heavier than the other. So basically, movement that ends up making something unbalanced.
Got it. Any other words you would like to discuss?
How about redistribution? Of course, this is a different form of the word distribution, which means to give something out or to spread a thing out over a wide area. In the report, we were describing the distribution or redistribution of groundwater. But the term can, of course, be used in many other ways and is often used to describe goods being shipped or transported to people or businesses.
Okay, well, thanks again, Brian, for joining me today on the program.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ashley.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember.
Freedom is on the march.
I speak not only for my candidacy, I speak for a new American century.
America's best days are ahead of us.
Given a choice, the American people will stand where this president walked.
Every 4 years, American political parties nominate their candidates for president and vice president. In the summer of 2004, Republican Party delegates chose George W. Bush and Dick Cheney for a second 4 years in office. During President Bush's first term, Islamic extremists attacked the United States. Almost 3,000 people died in the September 11, 2001 attacks on the World Trade Center in New York City and the Pentagon across the Potomac from Washington, D.C. President Bush declared a war on terror and led the nation into wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. After the terrorist attacks, President Bush enjoyed record popularity. Public opinion studies showed that almost 90% of the American public approved of the way he was doing his job. But the president's public approval rating decreased over time. One research group found that his average approval rating for 2004 had fallen to just 50%. Before a presidential election, the main parties use primary elections and caucuses to choose delegates to a nominating meeting or convention. The person winning the most delegates usually gets the party's presidential nomination. In 2003, 10 people were seeking to become the Democratic candidate for president. Among them was John Kerry, a senator from the state of Massachusetts. Another was Howard Dean, a doctor and former governor of Vermont. There was John Edwards, a lawyer and first-term senator from North Carolina. Senator Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut also was seeking the nomination. In 2000, Senator Lieberman had been the Democratic candidate for vice president. Another senator and former senator were also seeking the nomination. So were two members of the House of Representatives, a former general, and a civil rights activist. Former Vice President Al Gore was not among the candidates. He had lost the disputed election of 2000 to George W. Bush. Mr. Gore announced he would not be a candidate in 2004.
I want my country back.
Some political observers thought Howard Dean would win the Democratic nomination. The former governor actively opposed the war in Iraq. He won praise for the way he raised money for his election campaign. Supporters gave him millions of dollars in small gifts through the internet. Then came the Iowa caucuses, the first step in the nominating process in January of 2004. John Kerry won with 38% of the state's delegates. John Edwards finished second with 32%. Howard Dean was third with just 18%. Senator Kerry continued to win delegates and gain support in other states. Several candidates, including former Governor Dean, withdrew from the campaign. In early March, Senator Edwards also withdrew. He did so after Senator Kerry won victories in 9 state caucuses and primary elections that were held on the same day. The Massachusetts senator named John Edwards as his choice for vice president. Senator Kerry officially received the Democratic Party nomination for president at the party's convention in Boston.
I'm John Kerry, and I'm reporting for duty. We have it in our power to change the world, but only if we're true to our ideals. And that starts by telling the truth to the American people. As president, that is my first pledge to you tonight. As president, I will restore trust and credibility to the White House.
The combination of John Kerry and John Edwards balanced the Democratic ticket in several ways. Senator Kerry was considered a liberal. He came from the Northeast. Senator Edwards was considered more moderate. He came from the South. Kerry was Roman Catholic. Edwards was Protestant. John Kerry was born in Colorado in 1943. Like George W. Bush, he studied and graduated from Yale University. He then joined the United States Navy. He was wounded in combat and won honors for his service in the Vietnam War. He criticized the war after leaving the military. John Kerry graduated from the Boston College Law School in 1976. He became a lawyer for the state government in Massachusetts. Then he served 2 years as lieutenant governor of the state. He was first elected to the Senate in 1984. His wife, Teresa Hines Kerry, led a family foundation that gives money to important causes. Senator Kerry and President Bush debated 3 times on national television. They campaigned hard across the country. Foreign policy was the major issue during the campaign. Mr. Bush centered his campaign on national security. He said he was the best candidate to keep America safe from terrorists. He said Americans could trust him to be strong against terrorism. He presented himself as a decisive leader. He said Senator Kerry had changed positions on issues and would be unsure in the face of danger. In 2002, the senator had voted to give President Bush the power to use force against Iraq. But Mr. Kerry now criticized the way the Iraqi conflict was being fought. By autumn of 2004, more than 1,000 Americans had died in Iraq since the war started in March 2003. Thousands of Iraqi civilians also had been killed. Senator Kerry talked about the war in Iraq.
You got to be able to look in the eyes of families and say to those parents, I tried to do everything in my power to prevent the loss of your son and daughter. I don't believe the United States did that, and we pushed our allies aside.
Senator Kerry said his goal for the United States was stronger at home, respected in the world. He believed that the United States had lost respect from many of its allies because of President Bush's foreign policy in Iraq. The president defended American actions in Iraq. He said the war was needed to fight terrorism. He also expressed satisfaction that because of the war effort, Iraqis were free of a cruel dictator. In the United States, economic growth had slowed before George W. Bush became president. The economy got worse after the terrorist attacks in 2001. Mr. Kerry said the economy should be expanding at a faster rate. And he denounced the growth of the national debt under Bush's leadership. The president praised his administration's actions in difficult economic times.
6 months prior to my arrival, the stock market started to go down, and it was one of the largest declines in our history. And then we had a recession, and we got attacked, which cost us 1 million jobs. But we acted. I led the Congress. We passed tax relief. And now this economy is growing. We had 1.9 million new jobs over the last 13 months.
President Bush suggested a plan for younger workers to place some of their pay in private retirement accounts. Senator Kerry opposed this idea. The president opposed most operations to end unwanted pregnancies. The senator supported a woman's right to have an abortion. His position disagreed with that of the Roman Catholic Church. Early in the campaign, opponents of John Kerry's candidacy formed a group called Swift Boat Veterans for Truth. Its leader was a military veteran who, like Mr. Kerry, fought in the Vietnam War. The group argued that the senator was unfit to serve as president because of comments he made about his military service and his activism in the anti-Vietnam War movement.
John Kerry gave the enemy for free what I and many of my comrades in North Vietnam in the prison camps took torture to avoid saying.
The group even questioned the combat medals awarded to Mr. Kerry. Other Vietnam veterans, including several who had served with Kerry, denounced the charges against him as completely false. Some people believe the accusations and his campaign's delay in answering them had an important effect on the results of the election. Americans voted on November 2, 2004. As in the election of 2000, there were questions about voting problems during and after the election. The vote was especially close in the state of Ohio. Kerry's supporters reported problems with voting machines. They also said many people were illegally prevented from voting. The state had enough electoral votes to decide the winner of the presidential election. But the day after the voting, Senator Kerry decided not to question President Bush's win in Ohio. The final results showed that Mr. Bush won about 51% of the popular vote nationwide. Mr. Kerry won about 48%. George W. Bush would serve 4 more years as President of the United States.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.